Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Checks have passed. I am Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Luke Moore. It is your Thursday dose, your Thursday re-upping of the Luke and Pete Show. I do hope you keep them well, wherever you may be enjoying a post-COVID world out there. Stay out of trouble, yeah?
Yeah. Somebody's no kissing. Good morning, afternoon slash evening to all our lovely listeners. I said earlier in a conversation with you, didn't I, Pete? I said the post-COVID world, but I suppose technically it probably isn't.
Very much still around.
Yeah, and we probably shouldn't be saying it's post-COVID, should we?
Mm. Well, we've both had it, so we've not both had it. I don't know. I bought a couple of testing kits, like to test the, what they're called, the little things after you've had it.
Antibodies.
It tells
test.
You whether you've had it or not. Antibodies. Because I thought, oh, I wonder if I had it. That's interesting. And I bought it privately, so you can't shout at me for taking it out of people who need it. But I just thought it would be quite interesting. Because there was that guy who got re-infected in Hong Kong last week.
Is that confirmed?
It was apparently confirmed, yeah. I would probably trust their government over ones north of the border. But he was reintroduced to it and he showed no symptoms, which is kind of how vaccines work, I suppose, isn't it?
Right.
Give them a little taste.
Right.
Give your body a little taste, a little summing, and then you don't want any more.
What has this guy done wrong to be in the firing line of this?
He's just constantly smooching. Just he's Hong Kong's smoochiest man. He just cannot stop smooching.
Did you get the antibody test through? Have you done it yet then?
I've not done it yet because I keep looking at the brown box that it's in, going, I've got to bleed into that, haven't I? I'll do that next week.
Bleeding into a box. I only do that on the weekends.
I'm busy. I've got podcast to edit, mate. That's my edit finger. That's the M on the Adobe Audition edit that I have to press.
Yeah, exactly. I remember seeing a thing about I'm not a scientist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know anything about this. So take this story as it's intended, i.e. anecdotally. But I remember a few months ago seeing a news story that, you know, oh, can COVID be passed from cats and dogs to humans? Like, is this an infection route that we haven't considered? And could this be a factor? And then, and I don't know what the latest thinking is. I haven't looked it up, but I was watching a news bulletin, like I say, back in about April time or whatever. And this guy was doing a VT where he was saying that, you know, the evidence at the moment is sketchy. We're not really sure. And at the end, he had this cat with him. And at the end, he just looks down at the cat and goes to the camera. But don't forget, cats are also a surface. And it's like, it just made me think,
yeah,
they are a surface, but I mean,
yeah,
it's just a bit weird
surfaces,
to do it that
it?
Way.
It is, but yeah, I was thinking that. Like, people are going, can we catch it from pets? I was going, surely you can catch it from bananas. You can catch it from everything.
Yeah.
It's a surface.
Yeah.
Remember, cats are a surface.
You should definitely update me and our lovely listeners about how you get on with your antibody test. I'm sure people will be on tenterhooks wondering
should I do that as a Luke and Pete Show feature?
Like when we ate that space food?
Yeah. Eating space food, find out if I have a carrier of a disease that may kill people.
Yeah. Or remember the time you boasted that you could drink a litre of water in 20 seconds or whatever it was?
I like to think that that was my
That's why you hate the Nalgene these
prevented,
days.
That prevented me from catching COVID. I was just so full of water. It would be diluted in my body because I had an extra gallon of water in my mouth.
It's also, for regular Pete Donaldson followers, it was a big plot twist because you are famously anti-water, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't care for it. No. I know where it is. I know where to get some if I need some, but it's just not important to me.
Before 1998, no one drank water.
They didn't. And people pretend that we did. We didn't. We were fine. We didn't crumble. We weren't desiccated. We were fine. Yeah. And now we've got to chow down on loads of water. How many wees do you do a day? I think I do about three.
Well, it's a good question because I do get a little bit paranoid when I'm not hydrated enough these days. I've kind of turned to everything I hate. When I was a kid, when I was like 17, if you had said to me, oh, make sure you stay hydrated, you don't want to get dehydrated, I literally would have been like, oh, what? Leave me alone. Now, I am quite paranoid that I'm not hydrated enough. So sometimes I'll go to town and drink a load of water. And, but to answer your question, probably five or six, I would say.
Right. Okay.
Do you now you're of a certain age like me, do you get to a certain point in the night where you have to get up and go for a wee?
No, never. I'm really proud.
I never did either.
It's my I think my prostate's in good nick, probably because of the frequent masturbation I indulge in, but I'm never going to the loo in the night. I can go to I've said this on the show before. I'm quite pleased with the fact that I can, with a smile on my face, go to sleep with a full bladder, and I'll just deal with it when I get up.
Why have you got a smile?
I do have terrible face. Yeah, because I'm just content. I'm going, there'll be a lot of people at this point. Some people we've worked with, Jim Campbell, goes for a wee every 5 seconds in the day. Yeah. He will not abide water in his bladder at any point. He thinks it is an invasion. Yeah. He thinks it's his own personal Crimea. And he wants them out. He wants the water out.
But I think some people's attitude just needs to change about it. I don't mean Jim, who I find perfectly
all of his attitudes.
I find him perfectly agreeable most of the time. But I think some people, it's all to do with your attitude towards it, isn't it? Like, so I reckon with some people, when they say I need to go for a wee, they probably don't. They just think, oh, it'd be quite nice to go for one, but
yes,
you don't need
exactly.
one, in quotes.
I don't need to live my life like this. I don't need to live my life like this with wee in my bladder.
No.
That's what they're saying. And I think that's a perfectly valid way to think about it.
What's the optimal amount,
But I do think
though?
That people... What?
What's the optimal amount? Because on my Nalgene, I've got like all the measurements in 100 milliliter sections up to a liter. If I could get that drawn on the side of my bladder... And maybe so I actively be able to see it, like maybe Google Glass, where you get like all the information. If I get like a bit of information that says how full my bladder is, I could probably regulate it a bit more easily.
Well, there's two kinds of wheeze. There are wheeze that if you are doing it outside, it's too long and you're going to get caught by somebody.
Yeah.
That's too long a wee. Or there is the approaching three minutes stream that only dads do.
I do those.
Yeah, well, you get up in the morning and you're just like, wow, that's like the sort of wee I saw my dad or heard my dad do.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like the capacity of my dad's bladder was and continues to be incredible.
Has your dad got part of his bladder that he wears on a chain around a neck?
My mum and dad do have a horrible, disgusting habit of only flushing on number twos. It's disgusting. It is the worst. They think that they're saving water. They were never interested in saving the earth or saving water back in the day. Yeah. They used hose pipes. Suddenly they've got to a certain age and they think that they'll save money somehow. They're not even on a water meter. They'll save money if they don't flush wheeze, just flush the poos.
So one of the recommendations to save water is to take a slash in the shower, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yeah, because you're basically you're washing anyway. And like, you know, if you're washing dirt of yourself, you go and play football and you accidentally slide in a load of dog muck, right? You're going to get in the shower and wash that off, and it's going to go down the plug hole. So I think people's general thing is, look, if you're going to have a shower anyway, you might as well take a piss in the shower.
And I've weed in the shower. I don't have much.
But this is the thing, Pete. This is a theme that you and I are kind of tapping into here. Things change all the time. Back in the day, like I'm telling you now, 20 years ago, if you went out there and said that you took a piss in the shower, people would be up in arms. It'd be fuming.
If you did it on
there
Big
was a
Brother,
big
remember?
Big Brother, wasn't there? Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Now
the man with the moustache.
Now these days, you should assume that any time someone takes a shower at your house, they're fucking taking a piss.
Look, we both worked in a building, Capital Radio, now Global.
Got to mention on Monday as well, didn't it, Capital Radio?
I know. I presume that the showers still exist on the ground floor near Royston Boyston's little desk.
Yeah.
I know for certain that one of the XFM producers, ex-XFM producers, did a shit in the shower. And was really proud of it. Really proud of it.
I think I know who that was. Can I give the initials?
Yeah, fuck it. He's a dirty little boy.
Is the initials PR?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
So,
anybody I didn't even know that story.
Dirty little boy.
I worked at a company once, Pete, where they had, I'm not going to tell you which company, they had a Christmas party at a certain venue, and the venue wasn't that far away from the office, right?
Right.
And the office was open 24 hours. What I mean by that, not that people were necessarily in there 24 hours, but some people were, and your pass would, to get you in, would work 24 hours. So very similar to Capital Radio, although it wasn't Capital Radio. And
I wonder what kind of organisation would require 24-hour broadcasting that you've worked for recently.
In fact, you know what, Pete? It wasn't a broadcaster. So,
oh, was it? No.
Yeah,
oh,
joke's on you.
Well, that's one down, isn't it? That's one down.
So now you should be able to work out who it is. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So what happened was, we got a memo through a day after the Christmas party saying, oh, from now on, oh, no, sorry, it was the day before the Christmas party saying, oh, by the way, your passes won't work post 11 p.m. tonight or whatever, but they will be activated again at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I was that's a bit weird. Yeah, it's a bit weird. Mm. And basically, anyway, I did a little bit of digging around, and it turned out what happened was someone got really drunk and went back to the office and thought, oh, I'll just get their head down. But they ended up, sadly, obviously quite drunk, sadly shitting themselves in the office, soiling themselves. And so the top brass were like, well, we can't really have that happening again. And so they stopped it happening. But having said that, I used to go back to I used to go into that company sometimes, and I would go in the morning. Sometimes I'd go in early if I had like a load of work to do. And there was quite a well celebrated grad scheme there, where a load of guys who just finished uni, or they were just in their final year of uni, would be working there as well. And some of them would regularly be sleeping on the sofas just to sleep off a night at the pub, because they didn't want to go all the way home or whatever, because they live with their parents still or whatever. And it's quite funny, because what they would all do to a man or woman, but it was mostly men, let's be honest, the lights in the office were motion sensitive. You know, like the ones in our office at Stack, they're motion sensitive.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they would all tie pieces of clothing around their faces and blindfold themselves so it wouldn't wake themselves up. So it would just be, you'd walk in, it would literally be like some kind of enhanced interrogation had been going on. It was horrendous. Like people, it was like they'd been waterboarded.
Oh, I on more than one occasion, I slept in the drum room, which is obviously incredibly well insulated for sound. Chris Denman's drum room
and
XFM.
A current chamber.
And it's like an anechoic chamber. Very, very peaceful. You couldn't hear a bloody thing. It was fantastic.
Yeah, apart from your own thoughts, though.
Yeah, don't need them. Don't need more of them.
No,
don't need more of them than I actually need.
Can I change trains entirely and just say something we forgot to mention on Monday, which I really do want to mention today. Very, very sad about the passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, yeah. Just what? There's no... No one should ever lose their life that young. But what fucking dignity to go like that. Fuck me.
I agree. Yeah, I think the dignity is exactly right. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was reading in today's society about how he was able to, you know, as you rightly say, with dignity, like continue his life, live his life, affect so many people in the world positively, do so much good for so many people, be so symbolic for such a big amount of people as well. Also carry on his personal struggles like completely in private. And also, what a close-knit group of family and friends he must have had, because not one person knew about that. No one leaked it. No one talked about it.
Credit to them. Yeah.
There's videos of him visiting hospitals with terminally ill kids and doing loads of really good bits for charity and stuff, while all the time living through his own private struggle. Incredibly affecting. There's a video that he did on either Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, I always get them both mixed up, where he gets members of the black community to come, Jimmy Kimmel I think it is, gets members of the black community to come into a curtained off room and talk to Black Panther.
The picture,
and say what it means to them for the film to be there and stuff. And then Chadwick Boseman comes out My God, yeah. I was in floods of tears watching that.
Oh, mate, it was the night after. It was the day after a night out as well, and I was watching him like talking about the two kids with cancer. So I was done. I was absolutely done.
Incredible story. So sad. What an amazing life and career cut tragically short. It was so sad. But I mean, what an amazing contribution to the world he's made. I mean, the atmosphere in the cinema when I went to go see Black Panther was unbelievable. It was. I've never seen. A movie at the cinema. Obviously, I live in West Norwood, right, which is it's got quite a sizable black community, and I lived completely in ignorance, to my own shame, that like how much this movie and this character and this idea meant to so many people. When we're in the cinema, the atmosphere was completely palpable. It was incredible to be a part of. It really was amazing. I was completely ignorant of how important, how symbolic, and how necessary that movie was. It's far greater than the sum of its parts. Like the social and cultural impact of that movie will live on for a very, very long time. And obviously he was the key part of it. And some of the things that have come out since he sadly passed away about the things he insisted upon in the production meetings and how the film should go and the things that should happen and shouldn't happen and how true to his like morals and to his values and beliefs he was. And he was willing to sacrifice essentially being in the movie or the movie happening. He said, if you're going to do it, it's got to be done properly. It's got to be done like this. And this is why this is important. So his impact and his legacy is there for everyone to witness. I'm sad that it is a legacy so early because he was only 43, but what a contribution he's made.
Yeah. And I won't pretend to have even seen Black Panther. I just don't watch a lot of superhero movies. I'm not familiar with the actual characters themselves, but it was really refreshing to sort of see. It wasn't just a movie stocked with a huge proportion of black actors. It was an African, there was a lot of African voices in there as well, which is obviously even more rare than that. So yeah, I really, to my eternal shame, I've not actually watched it, but yeah, he seems like quite a performer and quite a man.
And you know what? I mean, I don't think refreshing is probably not the right word, but for want of a better word, maybe it was relieving actually to see that the handling of the announcement of his sad passing and how it was dealt with. It wasn't dealt with by being broke by some awful tabloid or on TMZ or anything like that. It was dealt with properly. It was the announcement was allowed to be made in the right time by the right people. They were allowed to own the message. I know it sounds really kind of sad and like a little bit pathetic to say about owning the message in quotes, but like sadly these days, so many things are broken in like horrific ways. The one that I always think of that really I find astonishing that people haven't been taken to task about this is that, do you remember Mick Jagger's partner took her own life really sadly, like she committed suicide, and one tabloid, I forget which one it was, they ran photos in the paper of him getting the news broken to him on the phone because he was on tour over the other side of the world, and the picture of his like haunted face, like old man, done a lot of stuff in his life, like made a huge contribution to society, like, you know, not that any of that stuff should make any difference anyway, but I mean the indignity of it was, I found that almost like staggering how bad it was. And I hope that kind of stuff is never repeated. But in this case, I mean, it was done in a dignified way and in a respectful and classy way. And I think that's a really important thing to note as well, actually, in today's modern society, sadly.
Yeah. And to see the people who, you know, were accusing him of, you know, he'd obviously lost a lot of weight months before he died. And he appeared, I think it might have been about Joe Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris. I think people sort of go, oh, look at him, he's on drugs or something like that.
A lot of people assumed it's for a film role, didn't they?
Yeah. I hope those people, I guess a lot of people wish it would have been, but
I really want to sort of mark that because, massively.
It's a very rare, dignified, and a lot of people don't get, you know, through no fault of their own, frequently they don't have that same, unless they go very, very quickly indeed. They're not afforded that luxury of losing their life in that manner, in a very public forum. But credit to his family that he was able to do that, and credit to the people he worked with as well.
Absolutely. Look, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will do some more of your lovely emails.
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Football's back and we are here to laugh about it.
Hellenius in the League Cup. He was trying to like defend with his hands and he yanked his shorts down.
Straight off. See you later.
Yeah. But Hellenius got the shot away, which I thought was very professional.
Yes. Whether it's players losing their pants or managers losing their shit.
And I thought about that when you could just hear Moy shouting at Pablo Fornal. And then he just loses all sense of himself at the end when Fornal blazes it over. And like, oh!
Yeah. That was the noise. Yeah.
The Football Rambler here every day with new episodes covering the lighter side of football.
I walked past a trophy shop at the weekend that said we're only allowing one person in at a time. Nobody wants any fucking trophies, mate. Don't worry, but no one, there's nothing happening.
Also,
no one's achieved.
Null and void. Your five-a-side league is null and void. Piss off.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He went through and all you hear is,
shoo, Pablo, shoo.
finish. Pablo.
This was a Stakhanov production.
And we're back on the Luke and the Pete show. We are squaring away some of your emails. If you want to get in touch with the show, it's really simple. Open your email client. It might be on a desktop. You might be looking it through a really expensive old Apple monitor like Luke is. Just heading over to Outlook Express or Gmail or whatever and tap away. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. It's as simple as that.
Shout out the Hotmail crew.
The AOL posse, the Yahoo collective.
Shout out the me.coms. The me.coms.
Me.coms. Is that an old Microsoft thing? An old Mac thing?
I think it is, yeah.
Me.com.
Classic. Whatever your email client is, though, the email address remains the same. As Pete says, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. I've got an email here, Peter, from our friend Phil. Phil has emailed in saying, hi, guys. Your conversation about the teaching of religion in schools on Monday's show took me back to my school days at a Catholic school in the 1980s. Insert joke here. For as long as I can remember, I'd taken religious teachings and stories to be doublethink. I assumed we all really knew it was bollocks, but all had an unspoken agreement not to acknowledge it, as it mostly seemed to be coming from a good place. I had no desire to challenge the status quo. I was surprisingly advanced in my school years when I was disabused of this belief. We were tasked in class to speak about our faith, and each of us took turns at paying lip service to the topic, but eventually one of my classmates got up and spoke with such fervour that I was genuinely taken aback with the realisation that he actually believed in this stuff. Years later, though, I was interested to read that my doublethink view is shared by a not insignificant proportion of the clergy. Anonymous surveys among clergy members have shown the number of priests and vicars secretly holding atheistic or agnostic views could be as high as 1 in 6. But they reconcile this by focusing on the benefits they feel they are bringing to the communities they work in. Not sure why I feel the need to share this. I just thought it was interesting. Thanks, Phil. Now, I bring this to the table, not to denigrate or to mock anyone's beliefs, wherever they may be, entirely their own personal choice. But this situation about perhaps members of the clergy who no longer have the beliefs that they profess to have, and is a very interesting thing for me, Pete. And I just want to take it down a slightly different angle. It's because if it's the only thing you know, and it's the thing you've trained at your whole life, whatever the profession is, be very, very difficult to kind of stop it or change it. Or, you know, if you get to 50 years old and you've got to try something completely new or embark on a totally new career, regardless of the fact that theologically and it's very much bound up in your entire existence, must be a hugely difficult thing to deal with, right?
Yeah, and socially. And I mean, I guess we're two people who support underwhelming football teams, so it, in many ways we're very much like members of the clergy who don't believe in our clubs. But yeah, you're right. I think I do like the idea of somebody doing a job like that and it being incredibly vocational at the start of it, losing a little bit of that faith and questioning why you're doing it, as you would do any job, I think. But then sort of getting so much out of a job and finding a job so fulfilling that you sort of think, well, look, I may not believe about the big guy, but I think I'm probably doing some pretty good work. Yeah. I'm probably being an all right chap and people seem to like what I'm doing. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But Pete, if you are, for example, a vicar in a small town in England, say,
And you have to have two Christmas dinners and you are Don French.
Oh, and a new mysterious man comes to town. You're not quite sure about him. He's sexy, but you don't trust him. Could happen, is what I'm saying. It could happen.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Shall I move on to the next email?
Why not?
Brendan. He actually calls himself your old pal Friendian.
Oh, we've had him before. Like. He's a regular.
We've had him before. Yeah. Hello, Luke and Pete. For some reason, I cannot see or hear the world without coronavirus judgments these days. It's usually just seeing an old-time movie where people high-five or strangers kiss or cuddle or stand too close on my TV, and my mind straight away thinks of simpler times where we get away with that kind of thing. Simpler times, like listening to the back catalogue of the Luke and Pete Show in episode 7, where Luke tells a story about a Vietnamese gentleman and his son eating bats like olives for over 50 years in the jungle without getting sick. To which Pete responds, there you go, what does that tell you? Eat a bat, mate. Diet advice worthy of a pandemic in true Pete form. Wouldn't have it any other way. Of the show.
Do you remember that, Pete?
Do you? I don't really remember that. A man eating them like olives. They're too big for olives. How big are your olives you're eating?
I don't really like olives anyway. I'm not really.
Really?
A fan,
that's a big shout. What's wrong with you? Come on.
Don't know.
There's so many different variations. You can put all kinds of, you can hide all kinds of bits in there.
Like what?
Garlic or little pebbles. Your little olive trick.
Bogies.
Oh, I broke my teeth.
Bogies.
But you could hide a not inconsiderable amount of bogies in there, definitely.
Can I ask a question about bogies?
If you want, yeah.
Or for our American brothers and sisters, boogers, I guess you'd call them.
Boogers.
Right, so if someone takes a bogey from their nose, right,
yes,
and they've got it, and if they waited long enough, would it just dry out into dust?
I don't think it would dry out into dust. It would just harden, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, it's
eventually just... Eventually it would dry out into dust, surely. Because apparently like 90% of dust, household dust, is like dead human skin, right?
Yeah, so it'll just be lumps of carbon, wouldn't it? I mean, it would lose a lot of its size, yeah, but it's just kind of soggy. It would just harden into like a green kind of hard paste.
But
like
the reason
glue,
for my question is that you don't just see a load of hardened bogies everywhere, do you?
Well, it depends on how dry your nose is, I suppose. Have you ever been somewhere really dry? Oh, yeah, but I mean, where are you flicking your bogies?
I'm not flicking them anywhere, I'm just saying.
Put them in the bin, dirty boy.
How many? You know, we found out on this show once that there's like 17 million flies for every human being on Earth, right?
Yes.
Right. If there's even just 10 bogies for every human being on Earth, right, that's 70 or 80 billion bogies. So where are they?
Are you wondering where... Well, where's the poos? Where's the... you know, it all comes out of us, doesn't it? So it goes to a certain place, goes in a hanky.
Hanky, granddad.
Hanky.
I've never seen you in a hanky, ever.
No, I've not. I was talking to my I met over a WhatsApp call, video call, my new niece, little baby Sophie, and she's an adorable little thing, but she's got a terrible cold at the moment, so everyone's just sneezing in the house. They live up in Stockport. I think they've just come out of lockdown.
What's the deal with her bogeys?
They've got one of those little kind of turkey basters that you suck up the baby snot with.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you do
snotty
after that? They are snotty. Mm.
Shout out my my niece Betsy, who's going to be 5 in October. She just graduated from nursery, got a mortarboard and gown and everything. It's very
cute. Really get a mortarboard
and
gown.
Also, by the way, another thing. Shout out Jules Breach's new dog Pablo.
Oh, hello, yes.
Brand new puppy.
More of that, please. That if that dog is not in the Stakhanov office, and they said Absolute Radio, the Stakhanov office in the next month, it's still real to me, damn it. If that's not in the office in the next month, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah,
do dogs get shots? Do dogs need shots? I think dogs need shots, don't they?
Yeah, I think Pablo's had his inoculation now, because I think you only get them just after you take ownership, if you like, of a dog. Like when we had our cats, you can only get them after a certain amount of weeks old, because they need to be with their mother.
Jules is legally rabid. She's got all kinds, yeah. All kinds of nonsense.
But you know, I heard
we
a
have
story,
to have shots to work with her.
I heard a story of I can't remember where this came from. I'm hoping it wasn't on this show. I mean, I guess it could have been, but I heard a story that a couple of people, like a man and his wife or whatever, wanted a new dog, and they heard along that, you know, someone had this litter of puppies and they wanted one, and so they sent a couple of pictures or whatever. And the puppy was like very, very young. No, like, oh yeah, that's fine, that looks amazing, like a little golden retriever or whatever. And like the next day they got like a ring on the doorbell, went down to answer the door, and this bloke just gave them this puppy, and it was like a week old, and they were like, yeah, I'm not sure I should have this puppy now. And he was like, no, it's fine.
Right.
And they had to take it to the vet. And the vet was like, yeah, you shouldn't have this. But I mean, I think they need to be like 10 weeks old before you can even take them.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think the vet has to do a lot of the infill work, if you like.
What do they do? Like put them in an incubator? Or I'm confused. Like what? Do all the mothering? I don't know.
You know, like the super vet, Noel Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
That's the dog had to suck on his breast.
Yeah, so you had to rear it. Yeah, had to sire the young dog. Well, yeah. Fair play. Look, dogs can be too young sometimes.
Did you know that like the song Toxic by Britney Spears was written about the supervert?
No, because that's not true.
It is true.
I read that. Now,
it is true. It's written by Kathy Dennis and she was married to him.
I'm snopsing it. I'm calling a snops.
Snopes all you like, mate. Apparently. I'm not talking about bogeys
snop
anymore.
Snop away, mate. Snop away, mate. Oi, oi, oi.
All right, so I've got another email here from someone who'd like to remain anonymous, so it's probably best that I read it out.
It's probably best you do it, yeah.
I mean, it's one of these emails where you think, okay, you want to remain anonymous. That's your right. Yeah. It's absolutely your right. I will honour it. Yep. I will adhere to it. The content of the email doesn't give you any reason to be named anonymous whatsoever. But anyway, up to you.
Okay.
Hello, Luke and Pete. Listening to your talk about Death Valley took me back to a holiday with my family back in 1969. Bought his first real six string. I remember my dad driving his Chevy Impala through the night to avoid the daytime heat and not using the aircon. We survived the drive by drinking cold juice and sucking on ice that we kept in a cooler box. Still, nonetheless, I had my first heat stroke there. I was only three. But I still remember the horrid heat and the pounding headache. Another place in the US famous for its blazing summer heat is Arizona. And when I was living there, a local news channel showed a man frying an egg on his car bonnet. I was told that it's an annual tradition, but I'm glad I now live in more humane conditions in London. Thanks for your amusing chit chat.
I love it when news crews go down to wherever in like a major city and they try and fry an egg on the pavement. It's like the silly season, isn't it? They've got nothing else to report on.
Yeah,
2020. We've been starved of these stories, to be quite frank. Like the only thing I've seen recently. Somebody was flying a drone in the sky, and they got some drone footage just off the Florida coast, checking out the beaches and the towers. Helicopter comes tearing past so very close. The drone's gone way higher than it should have done, and it nearly took down a helicopter. Very Whoa. Frightening footage. Frightening footage.
I went for a walk with Mimi to Seven Sisters a couple of weeks back, you might remember. And as we were walking back along Seven Sisters, which for those who don't know is like a series of white cliffs on the south coast of the UK. Beautiful place to go for a walk. Quite famous around these parts for a nice place to walk along the coast. And you can get quite close to the cliff edge. I mean, most of the parts, there's no fence stop when you're going to the cliff edge or whatever. So you can walk relatively close. And it's quite high, be a few hundred feet high. And as we were walking back, I just heard this amazing noise, like full on loud noise. And turn round, and a Chinook helicopter, you know, the one with the double rotors, that came so close to the cliff that we could see the people sitting in it. And it was about 20 feet off the cliff, and it flew right past us down the coast. It was one of those things where you thought, did that actually happen? Very, very strange. There's absolutely no reason for it to be flying that low. Like, no reason.
Oh, I love it.
It's really
absolutely
exciting.
Love that. Got a lot of time for that. Yeah.
It was like I was in Call of Duty. I then bundled Mimi to the floor and said, "Give me some cover." And then I hand grenaded the noob.
Yeah. I had a rocket launcher, just took down the Chinook and just everything was fine. I got a mate who's just landed a couple of weeks ago in Baghdad. He had 2 weeks in isolation because of the COVID and stuff, and now he's in Baghdad, and he's literally living in a shipping crater. Shipping crate. And he's got like a little air conditioning unit, and he shares this shower, which he stays with these this American lot, and apparently they don't clean the shower very. It looks absolutely foul, but he just seems to spend all of his time working out and playing pro ev and reading Robbie Fowler's autobiography.
I'll get FIFA at least.
Get FIFA at least, mate. I don't know. He's a pro ev guy. It's weird. Yeah, he's always been a man off the beaten track. But it was fascinating to see the living conditions.
You fancy a trip out there?
I'd go to Baghdad. I mean, I think you can fly commercially to Baghdad, can't you? Changing Turkey, man.
No idea. On that note, though, Peter, before you do pack up your things and your old kit bag and head off to Baghdad, we should probably say goodbye to our listeners.
Well, I think it's probably a good idea, yeah. Let's get out of here.
Thank you very much for listening to the Luke and Pete Show. It's been brilliant to have your company as ever. You can email us. You can get in touch by sending us a missive to hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods, telling people how lovely we are and how much of a nice time you have listening to us. And that would be greatly appreciated. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you again on Monday. It's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from that man as well.
Ta-ta.
A Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.